those who weep, and those who are hated for proclaiming Jesus. How many of us want to be included in these ranks? To be poor, hungry, grieving, hated? Show of hands? We don't volunteer for that, do we? Would we not, do we not, prefer to have money, adequate food, life with laughter, and to be highly esteemed? We're more familiar with Matthew's Beatitudes, and we give less heed to Luke's version, and with good reason. Matthew's Beatitudes, if you'll remember, references the spiritual arena. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness. Luke, on the other hand, doesn't qualify at all. He means the literal poor. He means those who don't have enough to eat. He means those who are burdened with sadness and those who are berated for being clear they believe in and trust in Jesus. So how is it that these are blessed? The word blessed can also mean fortunate. And while blessed implies a present tense reality, surely, fortunate is a word that implies a future prospect, a little heavier on that than maybe the word blessed, I think. She's fortunate. She's the only heir to her parents' estate. The blessing Luke claims for these folks are in the future. And while there is a here and now reality to the kingdom of God that Jesus is referencing, the full manifestation for the poor will be in the future. Those who are hungry now will be filled. Those who weep now will laugh. Those who are hated and berated now will rejoice. It's Luke who records, if you remember in chapter 1, Mary's song wherein she praises God for vindicating the poor. It's Luke who records Jesus' announcement upon reading Isaiah 61 in chapter 4, where Jesus says he has been anointed to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now in chapter 6, Luke tells us that the poor, the hungry, sad, and berated will rejoice on that day. The blessedness that Luke is talking about is having a special place in the heart of God. Having a special place in God's kingdom, God's reign, God's economy, not ours. And when the time comes, what these experienced in the here and now will be reversed in the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus is already inaugurating that year of the Lord's favor, the year that will be fully realized upon his return. So Luke goes on to warn us that in that year, those who are now rich, who are now full, who are now laughing, and who are now esteemed, will already have received their reward. Woe to you, Jesus says. Alas, alas, he says. Jesus is echoing the first will be last and the last will be first theme. But I also believe he's talking about the woe that our prosperity can work on us here and now by deluding us that we are self-sufficient, depending on our own resources. Prosperity can endanger our relationship with God by weakening our dependence upon God, by masking the poverty of our soul. If we're not on the edge of something, we're pretty content. We don't panic. But if you are facing that abyss, what do you do? My God, help me. But Jesus goes on to tell us that if we are among the rich and the well-fed, there's something we can do to address this woe. He says, love, do good, bless, pray. If wronged, return that wrong with good. But don't do it in order to receive good back. Do it without expecting anything in return. Do it because it's good to do. Give to those who beg, and let the thief keep what they've taken. Living this way, behaving with this kind of generous love and blessing are antidotes to the delusion of self-sufficiency and our fear that God will not provide. If I give this to you, what will I lose? Will God take care of me too? It's a question we all ask, particularly those of us who want to keep what we've got. I believe it's a fair conclusion to think that this text is telling us that God's eye is on the poor and the needy in a special way, and to their here and now life, and that they will indeed be blessed with the first fruits of God's kingdom, if I can put it that way. In this way, they are among the fortunate. I listened to a missionary many, many years ago who served in Chad in Africa. She talked about the wonderful people of Chad. And when she saw their plight and what they suffered, she said, oh God, I hope that when the day comes in heaven, they are the first of your children. That said, it is not enough for the rich and fed to think a future reward for the poor and the hungry is not our business. If we, who have the goods of this here and now life, share with and seek the welfare of those who don't, we will be agents of God's blessing to them in the here and now. Right? Yeah. I say this because the gospel is clear that those who claim Jesus as their Lord are called to live out the blessings of God's kingdom in the here and now. If we do not, we stand in the company of those who face the woe of judgment. Luke is serious about this. And I don't know about you, but this text has given me chills this week. I've read it before, but it read me this week. And upon reflection, I find myself uncomfortably close to the woe side of the equation, personally and culturally. If this text also makes you squirm, there's good news for us. Thanks be to God. Jesus graces us with the remedy. But we best not delay. So let's listen to the